Okay, good evening, YouTube. Welcome back to this next episode of FPL Family with me, Lee, and this is Sam. And congratulations, first and foremost. Any City fans? Any Chelsea fans in the chat? Kingdom, I'm looking at you. I know you'll be in here. Congratulations, FA Cup finalists for 2026. So what did you make of those two games, first of all? Because I want to get your opinion on the games, but I also want to talk about the FPL impact of those games and how it's going to affect the doubles going forward over the next 2 weeks. So we've got 4 weeks left of FPL, Sam. Game week 35 next. 36, 37, 38, we're done. That is it, we're done. Four game weeks left to salvage something from this season.
I don't think it is what it is, isn't it? It is what it is with this season. It's been a weird, weird season, and we'll do our best to finish it off in a positive way.
Well, yeah, of course we will, but time's running out. As well.
No, time's not running out.
They got four game weeks to go.
Yeah, well, that's all right, Moni Myrtle.
What do you make of the games, first and foremost, then? City and Chelsea, FA Cup semi-finals going on today and yesterday.
Were Southampton a bit unlucky?
Oh, do you know what? When Saints scored that goal, and City fans, you won't like me for this, but oh, we're all rooting for the underdog, aren't we? Come on. We're all rooting for the underdog.
Everybody bar City fans.
Yeah, aren't we? Yeah,
it was the same when Chelsea played Port Vale, right? We all wanted, Chelsea fans, but we all wanted Port Vale. Two Premier League teams playing against each other in Leeds and Chelsea. I was kind of like, okay, fine. I mean, it's my brother's birthday weekend. I'll probably want Chelsea because, you know.
They did a goal, though.
It'll make
Chelsea
him happy.
Did a goal.
Yeah, they did do a goal.
Bloody hell.
We turned up at my parents' house this afternoon. My dad opened the front door. We went, "You right?" And he went, "Yeah, Chelsea have just scored." And we were like, "Oh my God, Chelsea
first goal
scored.
In six and a bit hours or something?"
Chelsea have scored. Yeah, so Chelsea fans, I guess you were happy. Thought Leeds actually were quite good in the second half. I didn't watch the whole of it. But when I was back and forth during the second half, and I was like,
Bobby Sanchez had a good game, didn't he?
Yeah, there's some signs of life from Leeds in that second half. I thought Chelsea were probably better in the first.
Oh, Bobby had a good game.
Definitely Sanchez playing well, keeping Leeds out in the second half in particular.
Hey, Harry. Harry's in the chat. Only one goal. Let's not get carried away. We didn't need to get carried away and score anymore.
You scored
just one. That's good enough.
Yeah, one goal was enough to win it for you there, Harry. Come on, you've got to be happy. Made the final.
Who'd you fancy in the final then?
I mean, City. Clearly.
Well,
Harry's just told you they could score one goal.
Yeah. I mean, it's a one-off game. Anything can happen, can't it?
Yeah, but City know how to win.
Happen.
As we've said in weeks and weeks and weeks now, League Cup final, they've won that. If they go on and win the treble after Arsenal have spoken so long about the quadruple, that would be a bit ridiculous, wouldn't it?
It would. But, you know, we're going to talk about the games from an FPL perspective in the Premier League. And Arsenal went back to doing what Arsenal do best. You know, just another. I mean, it's a good goal by it, isn't it? But a lot of their XG, again, is coming from set pieces. And they ground out another 1-0. I noticed that I think Raya got 10 points. That's the first time he's got a double-digit haul since, like, game week 4 or 5 or something ridiculous. I think Gabriel popped up, and I had both of them on a free hit, right? That's the first thing we should say. We both played the free hit this week, right? So we'll talk about, as it says on the thumbnail, whether that was a success or a failure. I don't know yet. I've got a couple to play. I've got Bruno Fernandes, captain, still to go, and I've got Thiago to play tomorrow, which I think you've got the same, haven't you?
Yeah.
But if you did play the free hit this week, tell us, do you think that's a success or a fail for you right now as it stands? I mean, I don't know. We'll get into it. But
you seem a bit...
Well, I don't...
I don't know what the right word is.
What?
A bit... It's a green arrow, Lee.
Yeah. But listen, having gone into the last 2 weeks, so the bench boost, well, even 3 weeks ago, the wild card, then the bench boost, then the free hit.
Right.
This was like, I had these three game weeks earmarked as, right, this is step change stuff in season, right? This is getting me from where I was, which was 180k, into, I wanted to get into sort of like, and maybe I'm being a bit greedy, but I'm thinking 60, 70, maybe even 50k. I'm playing three chips in 3 weeks. That should be bang, bang, bang.
Okay.
So yeah, okay. Over the course of those 3 weeks, I've more than held my own. I've gone from 180 to, as you can see on the screen, guys, 111, right? I'm 111k right now. It's fine, but it's just fine. Like, it's not. Not amazing, is it? Like, you play those free chips, especially with last game with the bench boost, where we're expecting like big double digit hauls from a lot of teams, which we did get, and I got 120 odd points. But my bench boost got 8 for Darlow, 0 for João Pedro, 0 for Gabriel, and 0 for Anthony Gordon.
It's more than mine got.
So the bench boost was, you know, an unmitigated disaster. And when you look at the free hit for this week, I don't think it's really any better, really. Really? I think, well, I don't know. Maybe I'm being harsh because I'm one. I think you're the same, right? Because we have pretty similar looking free hits. We're a Morgan Gibbs White away from it being a decent free hit, aren't we?
I think that's why you're annoyed.
Yeah, he was in my team all week. He was in my team all week. Yeah, you're probably right.
Because you and I, and we'll obviously talk more about our teams later, but you and I both had Morgan Gibbs White in our team right up until Friday afternoon. And on Friday afternoon, why do my chip weeks always start with a conversation that I went swimming? So I took the kids swimming. And before I went, I thought, right, I'm not having this again. I'm going to lock in my team before I go. And I very last minute decided that I felt like my team had some risks in it and I wanted to be a little bit shieldy with some of the picks. And I thought, do you know what? I think I'm just going to cover Thiago. I'll just cover Thiago. I think I'll feel happier if I cover him and Bruno on Monday night.
Yeah.
And so I had a straight choice between keeping Morgan Gibbs-White and keeping Morgan Rodgers.
Yeah.
And of course I picked the wrong one, didn't I? And so then Friday night, the deadline passes, we're watching the game.
I don't think anyone's seeing that coming, though. Like, when I look back at it, is anyone expecting Forest to go and smash Sunderland 5-0?
Well, I think we said, didn't we?
At Sunderland.
I certainly said on the Q&A with Az that I found that game really difficult to call, and so I was tempted to just stay out of it because I didn't know whether Sunderland would put in one of their really solid defensive performances and just get something out of it.
There's a few Mukieles and a few Alderettos on free hits.
Yeah, or whether I would have gone, okay, well, and Roofs was quite popular as well, I think, on free hits. Or whether Forest were going to continue with the form that they'd shown and whether they were going to go into it really, you know, gung-ho and all guns blazing, or whether they might ease up a little bit given a very important fixture in midweek.
Well, they're not
next
giving up.
Week.
They're not easing up, are they? They need to survive.
But they've survived. The reality is they have. What they've done over the last few weeks, they're clear. They're clear. They're not coming back down.
Well, I don't know about that, but
it's
okay.
Between the Hammers and Spurs.
I'm not sure I agree on that. We'll talk about fixtures later on, but yeah, go on.
Well, if you want to drag them back down, I'm more than happy to have them drag back
down.
I felt very much like they are out of it. And so I just felt a bit unsure about how that game would go. And in the end, I decided, because I didn't know whether Sunderland would just put in a good performance, I just stay out of it. And that is the one part of it that I regret. Everything else about the free hit, I don't regret it. The other decisions I made, I have no regrets about. And actually, my numbers moved big again.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
So
top 1 mil for
the first time.
A significant chunk within the top 1 mil, right?
Yeah, this is the first time this season I've been inside the top million. So the last, since my wild card, like, and I know, and maybe this is why we feel a bit differently, because since my wild card, if you remember, when I wild carded, I was at like 3.7 million, I think. Nearly 3.6900 something. And so from that moment, I've gone up like, now we're well over 3 million places rise since that wild card. So for me, the bench boost last week was ridiculous. I mean, as we talked about in last week's stream, it was awful.
Are you happy with how your rank has grown then?
Yeah.
The green arrow over the last 2 weeks with the bench boost and the free hit. You're happy?
Well, I'm happy. The bench boost was a disaster, but the actual team did really well last week. And it was a massive green arrow. It's 460K last week, regardless of the fact I got 3 on my bench boost in the end because of Morgan Gibbs-Rogers subbing in for João Pedro. This week, it's looking really positive. I've got Bruno as captain. I've got Thiago to come. Assuming they both return.
Thiago could change it all for us, couldn't he? I mean, there's a lot of people that didn't go there.
Yeah. There's a lot of free hitters.
Yeah, it could all change it.
Like, for me, I'm like, well, I can't see anything other than a positive rank change on the back of tomorrow night's game. Like, surely that's going to improve the rank further.
What could hurt? A Cunha or a Mbeumo, maybe?
Maybe, but both of them are doubts. Brentford clean sheet maybe hurts, but then no one who free hit kept a Brentford clean sheet. So I don't know. Well, look, we'll see. But for me, I'm looking at it thinking, and Az and I said to each other a few weeks ago in the Q&A, I think if we could finish inside the top 500K, that would be, from where we've been and the despair that this season has been, that would actually be a really positive end to the season for both of us. And I feel like I'm not that far away from that now. Like, I'm getting there. I'm getting to the point where I can see it. Over the last five weeks ago, I couldn't see it. And I was looking at it thinking, I can't see how that number moves this significantly. But my transfer strategy since the wild card has worked really nicely. I think yours is working. I think you just had incredibly high expectations of what might happen with the three chips.
Well, I did, yeah. And I think largely because in the lead up to the wildcard, if you remember, I was playing it really safe for the best part of 5 or 6 weeks. And actually, over the course of that 5 or 6 weeks, things did go my way. I had 5 or 6 green arrows in a row, albeit small, but they were good incremental gains. And I think I was playing it safe for those 5 or 6 weeks, knowing that I was going to go bang, bang, bang. And I think in my head, I was like, right, those 3 weeks, the wild card, the bench boost, the free hit, they're going to define my season.
Yes.
And look, I know some of you in the chat saying, you know, stop moaning. And I will stop moaning because at the end of the day, I've had green arrows. So it's good. Like it's moved in the right direction, right? It's not as if the free hit's been that catastrophic. I've got red, for Christ's sake. No. It's been fine.
And that did happen to some people, right?
And it did happen to some people. I was just like, I think you're right. I probably had just higher expectations of how those chips were going to play out. What's interesting now, though, is that over the remaining 4 weeks, I'm slightly back in defence mode again because there are a lot of wild cards to be played, I think, in game week 35.
Do you know what?
Bench boost in 36.
I don't think that's true. I think you think that because of the Twitter sphere. So I think what you'll find, across the game is that when you look at how many bench boosts and triple captains and wild cards and stuff haven't yet been played, there's very few of them that haven't yet been played in terms of the people around your rank that can actually do you damage. I don't think you have to be super cautious. I don't also think you have to be super aggressive. I think if you keep playing your strategy, and I think sometimes that's the thing, isn't it? At this point of the season, you run the risk of just going, well, I'm so worried about what everyone else might do. You stop thinking about what you might do, what you're doing with yours, and just concentrate on your own team. Now, I won't worry about what chips everyone else has got because it might not necessarily matter if your team is right.
Well, I disagree. I am absolutely concerned about other people's chips. And I know there's some wild cards going to be knocking around in 35. There's going to be a lot of bench boosts knocking around in 36. And there's going to be a hell of a lot of triple captains knocking about on double Haaland in 37 or 36, whenever it is that he has his nice two home games. So I disagree. I am concerned about other people's chips.
How about yourself?
And I think in the remaining 4 weeks, it's going to be a little bit damage limitation, I have to say. Thanks, Harry, for the comment. Yeah, about 45% of the top 100k still have bench boost or triple captain. Yeah, so me sitting here chipless.
So one chip, though.
Yeah, but Sam, we'll have to agree to disagree. But all I'm saying is I was hoping that these last 3 weeks were going to go bang, 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 50k.
Yeah.
So that coming into these final 4 weeks, other people play their chips and I can consolidate somewhere in the top 100k. That was my plan. But as it stands, I've gone bang, 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 and I'm at 111. So I think I can probably consolidate in the top 150k. And let's see what happens.
So where do you want to be?
I think if I finish in the top 150k now, I'd be reasonably happy with that. But of course, I'm going to try and push on for the top 100k.
I think by the end of this game week, by the end of tomorrow night, you'll be in the top 100k.
Well, maybe. Depends on Thiago scoring. You can't say that because it just depends on Thiago scoring, doesn't it? But I think there's a lot of the game. I've still got a lot of chips to play and there's still double game weeks. And listen, I've got transfers. Of course, I can try and mitigate against that happening. Mm. But that, you know, Haaland triple captain when he's got that double home fixtures is going to be nasty. His EO is going to be nasty and it's going to hurt every time he scores. So I'm a bit concerned. Let's say hello to a few people, Sam, and get into the chat. We've got Wayne Lavelle, a member here at the FPL Family YouTube channel. Wayne, nice to see you, mate. He's got his triple captain left. Wayne, be interested to know when you are thinking of playing it. I suspect
Haaland
on that
double
game week on Haaland. And actually, before we say hello to anybody else, we probably should just comment on that because City, and I'm still trying to get my head around this, and Harry's in the chat, he's done a really great video as usual already on his channel, so once we've finished here, head over to Harry's channel and have a look at this video, talks about the different combinations and permutations. But for quite a while we've all assumed that game week 36 is going to be a double with Manchester City and Crystal Palace. That Palace game that's been sitting there in TBC for so many weeks was going to slot nicely in there. But the fact that they haven't announced that until now that the semi-finals are done means that maybe that changes. Maybe that changes. And in game week 37, when Manchester City and Chelsea play in the FA Cup final, those games are going to go somewhere else, right? And their fixtures are going to go somewhere else. And there's a chance.
But they'll probably just stay in the midweek of 37.
Well, they might do, but there is, I think, a chance, albeit a small chance, that the Bournemouth fixture against Manchester City gets moved forward into 36. I think that's the... I think, and Harry, get in the chat, you know this better than I do, but there's a chance that Manchester City's double doesn't have Palace in it. Instead, it has Bournemouth in it instead, and Bournemouth have a double game week. So I think depending on... And I
say that's unlikely.
Well, maybe, but the chance is still there. So the point of saying that, the point of that mini ramble, is that I won't be making any early transfers this week because I'm pretty sure we're going to find out what that's going to look like before the next deadline. We're going to find out all this unknown information about where the doubles are going to go. We're going to find that out before game week 35. And that is going to have a big impact on what I do, because if Bournemouth double, I've got Hill and I've got Tav.
Well, I think that's
unlikely. I'll keep them, boys.
I think that's unlikely. I mean, usually the FA Cup doesn't have that much impact. They shuffle it back into midweek and they get it done before game week 38. I would fully expect Crystal Palace to go into 36, Bournemouth to stay in 37, but in midweek, and then everyone plays out 38 in 38.
Yeah, so Harry, thank you, mate. You summarised it nicely. City have got two fixtures that have got to be rescheduled, Bournemouth and Palace. One will go in 36, the other's going to go in 37. There it is. But we don't know which one which right now.
I'll be very surprised if they do anything other than shuffle to Chelsea and Man City games that were due to be in 37 back to midweek.
Because they don't
like disrupting the fans. The fans and travel, they hate disrupting that. The Palace and City game has already been disrupted. Like, that should have happened ages ago. That what they won't want to do is disrupt Bournemouth travel plans and Man City. Do you see what I mean? Like,
But I think the point is we don't know for sure. You seem confident. I think I'm a bit less confident, but we don't know for sure. I think, given that how reasonably on it the Premier League have been after FA Cup rounds, what I think we can be reasonably confident of is that we will know by the time game week 35 rolls around.
I think the schedule will be clearer. I think so.
And therefore, and I think the announcements and the impact on the schedule later on in the season will have a big impact on our transfer plans. Certainly on mine.
If
Bournemouth are going to have a double game week, for sure I'm keeping Hill and Sanessi. But if they don't, the reasonable chance I take someone out for some Palace who will have a double game week. So I think it's not a week to knee jerk. It's definitely one to hold your transfers.
Sure.
All right, good. Let's say hello to a few other people. Joseph is in. Nice to see you, Joseph. We've got Will Mercer. Will Mercer, nice to see you. Kevin is here. Kevin Jenkins. George is in, as usual. Nice to see you, George. Hoping for something from Thiago tomorrow. Hoping. Have United got any centre-halves back? Maguire's back, isn't he?
Yeah, they're back, yeah.
And Maguire? Mazraoui and Maguire? Heaven, I would have thought.
Heaven.
I would have thought so. Let's see. Jack Benham is here. I still have my TC, he says. Heather's in. I have my TC. You see. Ads Mac is in. BB and TC still to come. You see? I'm worried about this. Consolidating in the top 150 has got to be the target now. Mo is here. Trophy FPL. Nice to see you, Mo.
Hey, nice to see you.
Listen, mate, we are both well, particularly as we got a Liverpool and we got a Spurs win this weekend. So I am going to talk you through, or we will attempt to talk you through, Mo, the emotions in our living room in the last 10 minutes of those Saturday 3 o'clock kickoffs. I have never celebrated?
Yes, I would say celebrated, Lee.
Mo, don't think any less of me, mate, but I did.
You did?
I don't want Spurs going down. Of course, I celebrated an Everton goal. I've said it, Mo. I celebrated an Everton goal. I felt dirty. It felt wrong. I need to go and repent.
At one point, I did think I was going to have to come on here and publicly apologise to Keenan Dewsbury-Hall for all the grief I gave him earlier on in the season. And then when the wind didn't stick, I was like, nah, sod that. I'm not apologising.
I give him a little fist bump and I was like, Keenan. And then I realised he was second on my bench. I was like, bloody hell. So I didn't really know what to do at that stage. But listen, I wouldn't have all the Spurs going down.
Our poor daughter didn't know what to do in the room at that point, did she? She was just like, what is happening? The parents have gone mental.
Not a clue. DL Southie is in. Nick F7 is here. Fantasy Football Scout are in, Sam. Hello, Fantasy Football Scout.
Oh, hello, guys.
Is that Tom?
Or Tom.
Evening, guys. Thanks to Woodman for getting me a SAR assist on free hit. Tom, if that is you, we will talk about that. I don't blame Munoz for what he did, but again, if the keeper's injured, you've got to stop the game, referee.
Yeah, but
okay. Stop the game.
Yes, you do have to stop the game. However, what do but what do we tell the boys at grassroots level? Every week we say, play to the referee's whistle. You keep playing unless the referee blows the whistle.
Yeah, well, in this case, the referee should have blown his bloody whistle.
I don't disagree with you, my darling. However, the referee did not blow his whistle, so you can't blame Daniel Munoz. You can, however, blame the state of refereeing in this country. Where the hell was the Everton penalty? VAR and the referee.
Let's start with that.
Well, we'll start with that, because I tell you what, refereeing in this country.
I tell you what, that is the most like nailed on penalty of the weekend, is it not? He like reaches round him and flicks it away with his hand. If you've not seen that, guys, I can't remember what play it was, but the guys in
Soccer Saturday were just like, "What? How is that not a penalty?" Mike Dean
just has to be a penalty.
Outrageous.
Has to be. Ridiculous.
I was not happy.
Tom again is saying, "Where was the West Ham penalty from Pickford? That should have been a red, mate." I've watched that a few times on Twitter and other places. Pickford absolutely nails the
What's
lad,
going on?
Yeah. Is it Castilla? It's Tati, isn't
it's Tati,
it? Tati,
yeah.
Castellanos. Absolutely takes him out.
That.
Oh, what are you doing?
It's mental.
And I'll tell you what, we've seen that from Pickford. We've seen that from Pickford before, haven't we?
We have.
We've seen that before.
He better not do that at the World
Virgil
Cup.
Virgil van Dijk. Well, he shouldn't be going.
Who would you play instead?
Look, listen, I've been nice to... I cheered an Everton goal, Sam.
Yeah, but you can't... But who would you play in goal?
And I felt really dirty for it. So we're going to have as much anti-Everton propaganda on this live stream as you can shake a stick at.
Anybody
want to give some anti-Everton, get in. I'm here for it. I need some karma in my life after cheering that Kieran Dewsbury Hall goal on behalf of Spurs fans everywhere. I now need to restore some balance by getting stuck into Everton. Mm. Right. Let's get on with these games, Sam. Actually, not as many games to discuss, is there?
We've only got six.
I'm sure this will be quick and we'll be done within the hour.
Definitely not. You'll waffle on.
Right, let's get on with the waffle. George, Everton suck. There you go. Thanks, mate. That'll do. Right there, that'll do.
Idiots, they are.
Right, what are we discussing?
Look, we've got
first?
So few games, they all fit on a slide.
Look at that. Great, isn't it?
Look at that.
What do you want to discuss first? We need my team first. We bloody won a game for a change. It's quite nice. Liverpool 3.
Give me a clean sheet. Referees in this country.
The referees, yeah. Well, so Liverpool 3, Crystal Palace 1. Let's do that game first. As somebody that bought in the following three players on a free hit.
Okay.
Can you understand why I'm a little bit upset about this? Mo Salah.
Yeah.
Virgil van Dijk. Yeah. And Dominic Szoboszlai.
Yeah.
Those were the three that I bought in for this, which I thought was going to be a nice home win, mm-hmm. which it was. I think I got 1-1-1. And?
No, Virgil got 4.
That's true. I think he did get some DEFCON, didn't he? That's absolutely true. But Mo and Dom definitely got 1 each. Now, I really hope, and Mo, you'll agree with me on this one, I really hope that's not the end of Mo. I hope that's not the end of Mo Salah.
It is the end
of
Mo.
No, it's not, shut up. Listen, he went off feeling his hamstring, his left hamstring. He didn't look like... He's the sort of guy where I think he would have been a lot more emotional if he thought he was going off in his last game.
Quite emotional to me.
Well, let's see. I hope... It's not.
I hope it's not, but I fear it might be.
Yeah. Anyway, I've got loads of thoughts on this game, including the XG stats, which we'll look at in a minute, because we got out XG'd quite significantly. But what did you think?
I expect...
Isak with the cleanest strike of his life? I saw some stuff on Twitter about how he meant it.
He
meant to hit it in the ground because he knew that if he struck it, it'd save the keeper, but he bounced it over
like
the keeper.
Would you like to talk about how you felt about Tim Sherwood's description of your game on Soccer Saturday?
No.
He was getting so upset. Tim, he was like, say something positive, Tim. I dare you. Say something positive.
Why have you said that? Because I loved it, right? We've met Tim a few
times.
He's
a lovely man.
But
it was making me laugh because every time they went to Tim Sherwood, you were just like, go on, Tim, say something positive. And then Tim was like, Isak has hit the ball into the ground and it somehow bounced over the goalkeeper. And you were just like, say something positive.
These Soccer Saturday guys, honestly, none of them like Liverpool, do they? None of them.
They love
like
to wind you up.
So, yeah, the way that Sherwood described the first goal, yeah, you know, it was like 1-0 to Liverpool. And, you know, normally you get like and then they go over to the person. Like the people that are not in the UK haven't got a clue what we're talking about because you get to watch the 3 o'clock. When in the UK, we don't. So we have to watch kind of Gillette Soccer Saturday
people
on Sky.
Talking about it.
Which is people talking about the game, because we can't watch the actual broadcast. And usually get the, oh, don't you? Well, when Liverpool scored, it was just like, goal. Goal. And they went to Tim Sherwood and he was like, yeah, and it's come out to McAllister. He's mid-hit it. It's bubbled through, taken a lucky ricochet, and Isak sort of scuffs it into the ground and it's gone over the keeper. 1-0 to Liverpool. I'm like, oh.
You went, be positive, Tim.
Oh, okay.
Say something positive.
Is that right? It was just like, gulp.
Honestly, it was so funny. Tim was fine. It was Lee's reaction that was really funny, because Lee was just like, be positive.
I'm so happy to see him score, though, obviously. We're going to need him big time, aren't we? Especially beginning of next season.
Was a bit lucky, though.
Yeah. But listen, we need him. We need him. And beginning of next season, you know, Hugo's not going to be there until probably Christmas, right? So we're going to need Isak to have a proper good pre-season. And for him to get a goal here, hopefully he gets one or two before the end of the season, then that'll stand him in good stead, I think, for a decent summer. I hope, right? But go on. I asked you what you made of this game, and then I continued waffling. So go on.
Well, mostly because I asked you about Tim Sherwood. I expected more from Liverpool, to be honest. I think I thought that Crystal Palace might come and try and stink up the game. I think I said that on the Q&A. Like, I didn't know whether they might try and do what they did against... Who did they play in 34?
Who?
Palace.
Absolutely no idea.
33. I can't remember. But whoever they played last week, it was boring, wasn't it? Boring 0-0. Nothing really happened. And I wondered if they might come into this Liverpool game with the same approach. Forest won, didn't they? Constantly win. I can't remember.
West Ham.
Oh, yeah, that's
Cheers,
right.
Danny.
You're right, Danny. And I wondered if they might have the same approach to this one, but they didn't. They did actually seem to come and attack this one. They're decent XG numbers across this game.
Like, 2.5 XG they put up against us here.
Yeah, decent.
Ours was 0.9, by the way.
Was it?
Massively out XG.
0.9?
Yeah.
Interesting. As I went for just the double up with Liverpool on the free hit in the end. I went for Virgil, who obviously got the DEFCON, so happy.
You were contemplating captaining Mo, no?
Some I did contemplate it, yeah. Because I was thinking about...
There will be some that did that.
Yeah, there definitely will be. Because in my head, I was thinking a bit like you were talking about earlier about, can I try and get a jump? Can I try and get a march on what's happening around me? I saw Mo Salah as an opportunity potentially to do that. And then I thought, actually, he's quite differential anyway. Just having him this week, he's going to be heavily owned amongst the free hit community, but he's not really that heavily owned across the rest of the game. So maybe this is an opportunity to just have him, enjoy having him, and just be a bit safe with the captaincy, which is what I decided to do in the end. I was glad I did when I saw him going off, because, I mean, it's just such a disappointing thing, isn't it? Like, I fully expected more. I fully expected more out of Mo Salah in this one, and it just didn't really happen. And what I will say, though, is I did think, watching the highlights back, that Wirtz became better when Salah left.
You thought Wirtz got better when Salah left? Go on, talk me through that then.
I just thought he played better, was more involved when Salah went off the pitch. Which is always interesting, because, of course, going into the next few weeks now, if, and it is obviously still an if because we don't know, but if Salah has done a hammy, and you do want to invest in Liverpool, then maybe Wirtz is back on the table again as a decent option. Because actually the moments this season where Wirtz has been better have tended to come when Salah's not been there.
Yeah, I mean, I think we had this conversation a few weeks back when Salah was at AFCON, didn't we? Wirtz did seem to step up a little bit. I think I had this thing about, you know, big dog theory. Did we have that? That was a thing that I come up with, wasn't it? Big
We've
dog theory.
We've spoken about that. Have we spoken about that here?
I'm sure. Somebody in Maybe. The chat will tell us whether I reeled out that crap narrative on here on a Sunday night where... Some of my thinking over the African Cup of Nations was actually that, when Salah's not on the pitch, Wirtz kind of steps up. He's got that big dog energy. He takes it on.
Yeah.
Whereas sometimes he gets into the final third when Salah's there and he's almost like looking to like give Salah a gift rather than shoot himself. You know, there's potentially a bit of that. Yeah. There we go. Yeah. Big dog theory. Yeah. We did waffle that narrative, George. You're absolutely right. We definitely did. Are you investing in Liverpool for the rest of the season, though? Let's have a look at the fixtures. So Manchester United away, Chelsea at home, Aston Villa away, Brentford at home.
I think I'm happy to sit Liverpool out now.
Well, the only one that interests me, and I noticed that he come on for Salah, was Frimpong, because I'm pretty sure that we ain't got anybody else that's going to play right wing. I mean, Szoboszlai has done it, albeit, you know, same thing I always say, you take him out of the middle of the park and you lose something, right, when Szoboszlai's not there. Chiesa, maybe, but he just doesn't fancy Chiesa, I don't think. Is he ever fit, Chiesa? There's others that could play there, I'm sure, but Frimpong looks like the obvious candidate.
But he's only coming back from injury himself as well.
Well, he is, yeah, but I don't think we've got much choice, Sam. I'm going into these games and I'm thinking, well, you know, if Salah's not going to be there, he could be a reasonable differential, Frimpong. I think he's going to play.
My issue with Frimpong is he's a defender. So...
That's good, though.
Is it?
Chatterbox is saying Rio. Rio's left up. I don't see Rio on the right, Chatterbox, unless you've seen something that I haven't seen while watching Liverpool. But you know, you put Rio on the left, really. Frimpong's the only option there. And okay, you miss him at right back a little bit, but Gomez can play there. Curtis Jones has actually been low-key all right at right back since he's been there the last couple of games. Mm. Notice that over the last couple of games, when we've had that problem at right back, he's not put Dominic Szoboszlai there. So obviously, Slot listened to me from a few weeks ago. Thanks, Arna.
Maybe he's listening to
And he's not put Szoboszlai in there. Instead, he's put Curtis there instead. I still think you lose something by not having Curtis there, but you don't lose as much, right? When you take Dom out in the middle of the pitch, you lose a lot. So I think we're going to see Frimpong there. I don't mind him as a four-week punt between now and the end of the season.
I just don't love
I don't mind it.
I don't love the fixtures. I don't love the fixtures. And I do think that heading into the next few weeks, obviously we know that Crystal Palace are going to have a double game week at some stage whenever this game against Man City gets rescheduled for. And I think if I was going to take some punts between now and the end of the season, I feel like it will probably be Palace assets that will be my targets. Okay. Daniel Munoz, top priority. If I was getting a defender, I'd get him over Frimpong.
Okay. Well, AdsMac92 in the chat just says, Frimpong is crap. So there we go. That's good analysis there from AdsMac. Thank you very much. So don't get him on that basis. What else do we want to say about this game? Anything from a Palace perspective? What did you think of... What do you think of that Munoz goal then? Should it have stood or not?
Well, no. I mean, look, I think the ref should blow up. Usually, the goalkeeper is down injured. They blow up and they give the goalkeeper the... Because you can't play on with a goalkeeper down. It's not right, right?
Yeah.
But the ref doesn't blow up for whatever reason. It's another state of refereeing in this country conversation, isn't it? So, yeah, he doesn't blow up. Therefore, it is a goal. There's not a lot that can be done about it in the aftermath, but I definitely felt the ref should have given a foul.
All right.
Or should have blown to check on Woodman.
On the assumption that we get a Crystal Palace double game week, which may or may not happen, who would you have thought? I mean, they've got obviously one eye on European football. So I don't think, given the fact that he's kind of, he seems to be kind of managing Mateta and a few of them, doesn't he, to be fair? It's going to be very difficult to pick a Palace player for that double game week around Europe.
Munoz, you can pick.
You reckon?
Yeah.
You reckon?
I think Munoz, okay. You can pick. I think you might, like Mateta and Sarr, we've seen some rotation around. I mean, I think probably I'd still go there, depending, of course, what happens in Europe. But then the reality, I nearly said it again. In reality, once they get through the next couple of matches in Europe and if they make the final, then you've got an extended period of time. And then you would expect that they would want to keep focus in the league, to keep momentum, to keep fitness and all of that jazz. I wouldn't expect that they would just stop playing in the league, just, you know, and rest everybody. Because
no, I don't think Glasner's that sort of manager either.
No, and you need to keep momentum. And we didn't see that in this one. We saw that, you know, the major players were there. They're playing. They're still continuing to play. I like what I think I said on, I don't know if it was this week's, like, no, it can't have been. It must have been the Q&A. Or the official pod. I really liked Henderson in the aftermath of the Manchester United game, talking about how they were really disappointed not to get, West Ham game, not to get more out of the game. And
he'll
how
play, won't he, Henderson?
Henderson will play. But I liked what he was saying about how, you know, they want to keep pushing on in the league. They want to try and secure European football for themselves again via the league next season. They're not at the point where they are just sacrificing it. And they were disappointed to only get a draw against West Ham. You and me both, Dean. I think they are still a team you can invest in. Yes, there's a little bit of risk across the double game week. Of course there is. But I think with Munoz, with Henderson, you're fairly safe with those guys, which is why I think if I was going to go for a defender from this game for the rest of the season, it would be Munoz as opposed to somebody like a Frimpong or a Virgil.
Yeah, I think as the chat is saying, it's a bit of a can of worms picking somebody from the front three with Palace. So you probably are looking a bit further back in the team and therefore...
Munoz
or Henderson. Is it Lacroix if you fancy the DEFCONs? But
I just think you go for the attacking threat of Munoz,
don't you? Yeah, you go for Munoz. All right. Well, let's see towards the back end of probably the next calendar week how the double game week for Palace potentially shapes up. And if they do have a double, then yeah, we might start to think about Henderson or a Munoz in our team. Let's do your team then. Wolves 0, Spurs 1. Finally, Spurs get their first win of 2026. Stressful as it was, but it come at some cost, right? It come at some cost because both Solanke and Xavi Simons, who were both pretty popular on free hits, right? I saw a lot of Xavi Simons free hits drafts. Look as if they've both got reasonably long-term injuries. Xavi Simons in particular looks quite bad. Maybe ACL, I heard, which is maybe not a good thing.
There's some pictures of him being carried off on his stretcher and he's got a massive-looking dent in his knee, which does not look ideal at all. I don't know whether it's an ACL or not. I don't know whether that is just people getting upset because the trainers had him... I don't know if they had him try and run or if he tried to run on it to see if he could run it off. And he clearly couldn't run it off.
No.
So he then got put on a stretcher and he was carried off. And there's a video of him going past the camera and somebody's frozen it. And it doesn't look great, to be honest.
Do you think it had anything to do with the fact that at the end of the last game, he had to play on with cramps and like leg injuries for like 10 minutes?
I don't think so. I think this is just an unfortunate injury. Having watched it back, he doesn't seem to be suffering in the build up to this happening. He seems to be fine. And then he goes down
Big injuries for Spurs this season. I mean,
that would be our fourth ACL in just over a year.
Yeah. And there's part of me, you're not going to like this, but there's part of me that says, well, what's the narrative? Is it you're really, really unlucky with long-term injuries or is there problems with the medical staff?
Well, they've sacked
them
all once.
That's not a coincidence, is it? You're unlucky if you get one ACL a season. Never mind four. It's mental.
Well, they've sacked all the medical staff once before already. So I don't really know, to be honest. And I don't think we'll ever really know. And at the minute, it's just one thing after another, after another, after another, isn't it? And I do think Xavi is a bigger miss than, say it quietly, but I think Xavi would be a bigger miss than Solanke would be for the final weeks.
Do you reckon?
Because at least... What I love about Dom Solanke is how... He drops back, he helps out with the defending, he does all of that good stuff. We do, despite the fact he's a bit crap, we do have another forward who is fit and available and we can play.
No, but he doesn't play anything like Solanke plays. And Solanke plays the system.
I understand that, but we do have another body that could go in that position. The number 10 position, we do not have another body to go in that position. And that is a major issue. If we've lost Xavi... That is a huge problem because at least...
He weren't even playing a couple of weeks ago.
Huh?
He weren't even playing a couple of weeks
ago.
No,
I know, but that was because we had an idiot in charge. And that's why we had no creativity and we didn't score any goals and we were absolutely goddamn awful for five whole matches of wasted time and effort.
Mm.
Going into the ones that we've had under De Zerbi, Xavi has been playing. We've been more creative. Things have looked better. We were very attacking in this game. Things looked better. I worry about what happens without Xavi because there isn't a natural replacement to come in and replace him at the moment.
Madder's not ready, is he?
Because Madder's not ready. So De Zerbi came out and said, I've put him on the bench because just having him there
vibes
is really important. As I said, as soon as I saw him on the bench against, who was it? Brighton. My mum was like, oh, Madders is back on the bench. And I was like, no, he's there for vibes.
He's definitely not.
He is there for vibes alone. He's just there to boot. He's mostly there, I think, to boost us. And as it happens, that is exactly what it was. So going into the next few weeks,
Villa away next. Leeds at home.
The only thing we
Chelsea away. Oh, some games there still.
There's some big games. Villa away is it's on Sunday night next week at 7 o'clock. I will be at a wedding with my Villa supporting family.
Oh, yes, that's right. We are. Oh my god, we are. There's a whole other half of your family that we rarely talk about on this on the streams, as you know. A lot of Sam's family are Chelsea fans, immediate family, but you have some extended family.
My cousins,
your cousins that are
they live in Birmingham.
Let's just say they are huge Villa fans.
They're season ticket holders up at Villa,
and we're at a wedding next Sunday. We're not here for a live stream next Sunday, are we? Because we're at that wedding.
Yeah. My other cousins
with all the Villa fans. Oh my god, I'm going to take the popcorn.
I'm not watching it with them. I tell you what, if my cousin that's getting married has sat us on a table with them, I might kick off. No, I love them.
You can have the Sky Go on your phone, are you?
Absolutely.
Got to, haven't we?
I will
got
be
to.
In the garden, away from everybody, probably just with my mum. Oh, and with my uncle. So my cousins who support Villa, their dad is Spurs. He can come and sit outside with us. We'll just be a little Spurs unit together, praying for the best. The only thing I would say is that Villa are a little bit Jekyll and Hyde, as we saw this weekend.
Eyes on other things?
Maybe eyes on other things. And in the moment they play us, it's sandwiched in between the eyes on other things, European competitions. So
they might be free up against Forest and after the first.
Well, let's hope they're not. Let's hope it's a really difficult 0-0 draw the first game, or 2-2 if you prefer, and that we go into Sunday night, 7 o'clock kickoff.
I tell you what, and you're not going to like this either, but Chelsea away in 37.
Well, I was really hoping that they weren't going to sack their manager, because I thought we might have a chance away at Chelsea if they kept Liam in charge. But no, he's gone now.
And Harry's saying it in the chat. You're all thinking it. Could Chelsea be the ones to send Spurs down in 37? God, your house wouldn't be worth it. I would not want to be around your dad's house.
My mum's not. She's already said she's coming to watch with us.
Oh, God. Bloody hell.
She's coming to watch with us that day. I don't know. We'll see. I'm at Leeds with my boy in a couple of weeks' time.
You going, eh? Okay,
taking
good.
Max.
Big game that as well. Another
that's big game. It's a big game. All we can do is keep trying to win games. That's all you can do.
Yep.
And you just have to hope that someone else messes up.
Okay.
And comes back down.
Thoughts on Pedro Porro? He's pretty popular on free hit. I bought him in this week on the free hit. I won't have him for next week. And I don't think he'd be a permanent fixture in my team. But that 1 week flirt with him, I was quite happy to take that. He looks all right. Picked up a yellow, of course, but I think he got some bonus points.
Yeah, he did. He got 9. He did really, really well, I thought. Really attacking again. Gets in all the right places. Takes set pieces. I think if you're going to go for a Spurs asset right now, he's the one. He definitely feels like...
Looks like a key goal, like the key goal threat now, doesn't he? With no Solanke Simons.
Well,
and
he'll be the creator-in-chief, won't he, is the reality. I like him as an asset. Will I invest in him this week? No. Why? Well, mostly because I'm saving my transfers. Because obviously I want to have some information about where these games are going. And I've only got one right now because I used them all going into... the double the other week. So now I've got one free transfer for this week and I want to hold that. It feels important to hold. And actually, when you look at my team for later, I've got a variety of benching headaches as it is.
Okay.
But Pedro Porro would be the one I would look at. And I might look at him for game week 36. For the game against Leeds,
all right.
I might just take a look at him and have him for Leeds. Obviously, the Chelsea game, I don't like the Chelsea defence. So I think there's an opportunity to score against Chelsea and then obviously Everton on the final day. So I might have a look at Pedro for the last three.
Okay. Final word on this game from me. And I think that has to go to Mr. Anton Kinski in goal, because think back a few weeks ago to when he was absolutely thrown under the bus by Igor Tudor, and I sat here and we talked about it and I hated it. I hated what Igor Tudor did to him. I thought it was awful what he did to him in the Champions League. So for him to come back into this team, and listen, good performance this week, but very good the week before. He's been great since he's come in, and when Vicario's been having his surgery. And I'll tell you what, that is a top draw save in the 94th
really
minute from Kinski.
And he pretty much had nothing else to do the whole game. So to do that cold is...
I tell you what, if that goes in and he doesn't save it, you're down.
We're over.
You're down.
Yeah, I agree.
And he's pulled out a worldie. So fair play to him. I absolutely love it. And I know that a few of you might have gone there on the free hit because he was super cheap and he'd have got you a few points this week. So fair dues.
Yeah, I think got 6.
Yeah, fair
dues.
Good. All right, so that's the Spurs game. What else do we want to discuss? I think we go back to Friday, don't we? Sunderland 0, Nottingham Forest 5. What happened in this game? I mean, I did not see this coming. I thought Forest would put up a very good fight. I know that Sunderland conceded a few goals against Villa last week. So by far... you know, far from watertight, let's face it. I just didn't see this one coming. 5-0 for Forest. But Chris Wood back on the score sheet. Gibbs White pulling the strings. Anderson doing what Anderson does and getting another nice little haul for his owners. And Igor Jesus come on and bossed it. I thought it was all round just a really great performance from Forest.
Yeah, really good. That's why I think they're safe. I think they're done now. I think I can't see them coming back down. They're in a moment. They're finding form. Since they beat us... that game, it was such a big game, that one between us and them.
Mm.
I was so wish De Zerbi was in charge for it rather than Tudor. But that was such a massive game for both sides because it's been the boost that Forest needed and it was a disaster case for us. But I just didn't know how to call this one, as I said at the beginning of this stream. Like, I felt going into it, either this might happen, I didn't think it would be five, but I thought either it would be a convincing Forest win, 2-3-0, or Sunderland would be defensively very solid and it would end up like 0-0 or 1-0 to Sunderland.
Not been solid for a while, no, Sunderland, are they? Well, they really are petering out this season.
They haven't really. I'm annoyed at myself for not sticking with Gibbs White. I should have just stuck with him, and I'm annoyed at myself for that one.
Or even Anderson, right? I mean, the thing with
I
the
never
free
thought
hit,
about Anderson though. Really, well, I think I went bold. I was going to go bolder on wildcard then.
I think I did think about Anderson, but with the free hit, he's not a free hit player, is he? And what I mean by that is, when you hit that free hit button, you are thinking sexy thoughts, aren't you? You are thinking, I want
sexy
the players.
Thoughts.
I don't want bloody Elliot Anderson on the free hit. I want the big boys. I want the, you know, the two or three goalers. I don't want to just be counting Anderson DEFCONs. I'm here for a good time, not a long time on a free hit. Oh, you want the free hit's a sexy week. But if you decided to put your granny pants on rather than the sexy underwear and get Anderson.
What kind of analogy is this?
This is a good analogy. Stick with me.
This is ridiculous.
If you decided to be boring and go with Anderson on your free hit.
With your granny
you've
pants.
I applaud your boredom. I applaud how boring you are, and you will be loving those points.
Oh, I cannot believe that this is an analogy that you've chosen.
You know what I mean? You're putting the free hit together. You're going for it, aren't you? It's exciting. And Elliot Anderson's the least exciting pick you could have had on a free hit, but there we are. Typical of this season. Those that picked him, loving it.
Elliot Anderson, sorry, you've just been described as not sexy. And sort of compared to a pair of granny pants.
This is prime Bonfield Waffle Kingdom FC is saying. Nice.
I don't really know how to come back from that.
Harry's saying, I will not stand for this Anderson hate. You did, Harry, you didn't have Anderson on free hit.
Well, Harry loves Anderson.
But listen, even an elite manager like Harry wants to have a bit of fun on the free. You want a bit of fun.
It's
you want a bit of fun,
behind
don't
Anderson's
Harry,
back,
on the free hit.
You're
having
saying?
Anderson, are you?
Well, he's had an affair and got Gibbs White instead.
He did have him second bench. Nice.
See, he can't get rid of him. He loves him so much.
I don't know how am I going to... I was going to extend the analogy then and talk about... Harry really was being boring, but didn't want to be too boring on the free hit. Just risked him on that. I don't know. I'm not going to... I need to stop this analogy, but...
I think we need to move on from Elliot Anderson.
I did not think about Elliot Anderson for very long when I was hitting that free hit.
I didn't think about him at all. In fact, if I'm brutally honest, I don't think I've thought about Elliot Anderson enough this season. And probably,
oh, yeah.
And probably that's why I am where I am and Harry is where he is.
Correct. Correct. He's like the fourth or fifth highest scoring midfielder now, isn't he?
Yeah, I've never owned him. He's never been in my team.
Absolutely ridiculous. Well, we don't play the game for that, do we? We don't. But the good managers do. That's why we just...
You know,
we're like, oh, we'll have a bit of fun and get Xavi Simmons. No,
you've joking. Had him twice. I know you didn't get him this time, did you?
Ridiculous.
But you did have him on wildcard last time.
I did. I didn't have him this time, though, thankfully.
We've got three. It's more than your sports that I pick.
Yeah, true enough. Fulham 1, Villa 0. What are we saying?
Bloody Villa.
What are we saying?
I tell you what, I want Villa to play like this next week. When you double up on a team... You really need that team.
You had Rodgers and Watkins, didn't you?
Mm-hmm. And when you double up, you really, really need them to be on form. And Aston Villa have been on really, really good form. Now, I very nearly wobbled on both because there was this graphic that everyone kept... It was everywhere of, you know, Watkins, what he's been doing. And it was like one goal, two goals, blank. One goal, two goals. And I was thinking, oh, it's like a little repeating pattern. Maybe that means it's going to blank. Which, if that's the case, it means he's getting one goal against Spurs next week, by the way. But I just thought, no, look, it's Fulham. I haven't been impressed by Fulham lately. They seem to have dropped off a little bit in the last few weeks.
They're definitely ex-beach, aren't they, in a minute? They're
they are one of the teams beach. That I think are on the beach. They've yeah. blown up their lilos. They've got a 99 yeah. in the flake. In it, and
which is
happy.
Why I shouldn't have bought Wilson on a free
I
hit.
I didn't really understand the free hit Wilson thing. That felt more boring than Elliot Anderson.
Yeah, probably was
Why
a bit.
Did you do it?
Probably was a bit.
Do you well, just love Harry Wilson?
Fulham at home against Aston Villa that have got eyes on another prize. I'm just like,
but
you know.
I don't know. I just didn't see it. I didn't see a Fulham win. I just thought that Aston Villa would come, would do business and would leave because I thought that they wanted to secure this through the league position.
I've got a bit of soft spot for Harry as well, haven't I? Do you know what I mean?
I know you did.
I had him before he was cool, didn't I?
You are...
I'm the OG Harry Wilson owner.
Harry Wilson is your equivalent of Harry's Elliot Anderson.
I think I was talking about Wilson before he was cool.
Oh, you think it's your issue because of you that Harry everyone else
Wilson's
got Harry
success
Wilson.
In FPL this season is entirely down to me. That's what I'm saying.
Jesus Christ. I don't know what to say about you today.
Poor game.
Should we move on from it? Because mm-hmm. I honestly can't. Hey, everyone. I don't know really what to say about Aston Villa. I'm really disappointed in them. If you've got them, Morgan Rodgers is still in my team now. Watkins has gone because obviously the free hit's over. But Morgan Rodgers is still bloody there.
Are Fulham 2 points off Champions League, Tom saying? Bloody hell, are they? Maybe they need to get.
Well, they don't feel like they are.
Back up and get playing again.
They feel like they're well out of it. I know they won this one, but the last few weeks they haven't looked like that. But the thing is, isn't everyone 2 points off Champions League? You're either 2 points off the bottom or you're 2 points off Champions League is how it feels at the minute. Everything is so condensed.
I'm sure I read somewhere that sixth place could potentially get Champions League if...
Why?
If everybody wins all the trophies. Like if Arsenal win it and Villa win
Arsenal
it.
Arsenal aren't winning it.
Well, just saying.
Atleti will beat them up.
Just saying.
And if they don't beat them up, good grief, PSG will in the final.
Well, you never know.
I tell you what, I've watched that Paris team. They're bloody good.
All right. You want to move on from it? We'll move on. Last couple of games, West Ham 2, Everton 1.
Bowen
2 assists. I tell you what, his XG was really low for this game. He never looked like he was threatening the goal, but can that boy create? Oh, my God.
The thing is that if he's going to be like the last few weeks, that's been the case. The XG hasn't been great, but the XA is certainly been there.
Mm.
That is the sixth home game in a row where he's delivered FPL points.
Yeah, Suchek in with the 43 underlying BPS, so he got the 3 bonus points. And then Bowen in with the 2. Yeah, very, very good indeed. I mean, any talking points in this game outside? I mean, it's the penalty. If you haven't seen it yet, go and have a look at it. It is clear as day a penalty. And then the Pickford red card that should have been, that wasn't, where he assaults Castanios. Yeah, it definitely is a red. But apart from all of the crap refereeing in this game... West Ham are showing a bit of form, no doubt. And for someone like Wilson to come off the bench and get the winner...
I know, do that against Spurs as well,
don't want to hear this as a Spurs fan, right? But West Ham are quietly going about their business. Let's have a look at their fixtures between now and the end of the season. I've got to get the right screen up. Hold on. There we go. Let's have a look at the fixture ticker. West Ham between now and the end of the season. Brentford away. Arsenal at home. Newcastle away. Leeds at home.
We both play Leeds at home.
Yeah.
So that one kind of...
If they can get... You need them to lose them next two.
We need them to...
You need Thiago to beat them up at Brentford, and then you need Arsenal to get to beat them at the London Stadium.
And the positive thing about that... Well, I think the thing is, the Arsenal and Chelsea games, I think we both lose them. They'll lose to Arsenal, we'll lose to Chelsea.
Because over the next couple of weeks, they've got those two, whereas Spurs have got Villa away, who we've just said are a bit worrying about other things, and Leeds at home.
Yeah, but they've got Leeds at home as well. We've got Everton at home.
I know, but just psychologically, 35, 36, if you can get points in them two and they don't, you're then going into 37, 38 with them under the pressure to get you. I think by game week 37, you need to be above them.
Lee, as I've said to you for the last couple of weeks, we cannot worry about what West Ham or Forest or Leeds or whoever else at this point, is what they are doing.
Well, you can.
Oh, no, we cannot. All we can worry about is what we are doing. We have to win.
I'd be worried about what they're doing.
All right, well, you worry about that, but I'm going to just worry about what my team are doing. That's all we can do. We can only worry about the 4 finals that we have coming up in front of us. The first one against Aston Villa, we have to win that one. Has to be 3 points on the board. I cannot be at a wedding with my family if we don't. Move into the next one. We have to then get 3 points on the board against
Leeds.
We're
talking about Spurs again. I thought we were talking about West Ham.
Yes, but that's what I'm saying. So all we can do is what we can do. All they can do is what they can do. They can't influence what we're doing. They're ahead. If they keep winning... Now, the question is, will they beat Brentford? Oh, I blimmin' hope not. Come on, the bees. In fact, I have a Brentford shirt in the cupboard over there. Maybe I'll wear it when they're playing each other.
Gage Almighty is saying, you're right this time. And also the Messiah is saying, Spurs need a favour from the Arsenal in game week 36.
Yeah, but the Arsenal game...
That's a narrative I'd not thought of. The Messiah, like that.
The Arsenal game and the Chelsea game, I think, nullify each other. Because we'll lose to Chelsea, they'll lose to Arsenal. So it's
lose to Chelsea?
We never beat Chelsea. Do you remember?
They've got one goal since, I don't know,
they'll score 5 against us. Genuinely, we can't beat Chelsea. We never beat them. Harry will tell you if he's still here. We never beat them. In fact, do you remember they were the reason our season ended a few years ago? Because everyone got sent off or injured.
Remember that game?
They always beat us. In fact, I think the last time we beat them at home, I mean, and it's an away game as well, we never beat them at Stamford Bridge, I was about...
It's really nice that we're talking about Spurs again, about but this eight. Is West Ham Everton. Yeah, West Ham Everton.
You asked me about the fixtures. I'm telling
West
you.
West Ham fixtures.
Oh, I'm telling you, all we can do is worry about ourselves. We can't worry about what they're doing.
Can we still talk about Spurs?
Yeah.
West Ham Everton.
I'm not interested in West Ham. I'm not interested. They do what they do. I do what I do. Are you not going to buy a West Ham player ahead of the next two, are you?
I might do.
Who are you going to buy?
Why wouldn't you have a look at Bowen?
You absolute bloody traitor. You cannot buy a West Ham player. Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Why, just because of you and Spurs?
Absolutely not. If you buy a West Ham player, Lord, that's it for you and me.
Is it?
That is it.
Is it? All right. Sorry, Jared. Can't buy you.
Well, you can if you want a divorce.
Can't buy you. Oh, bloody hell.
Yeah, that's it. You'll be dead to me.
What else we got to talk about? Arsenal 1, Newcastle 0. Talking about teams to target. You'd target Newcastle in a minute, wouldn't you? I mean, they're properly all over the shop. And I think the keeper's got to go, don't you? I think Arteta's right in what he said post-match. When Pope comes flying out of his goal and takes out... I can't remember the Arsenal player he takes out.
What, another refereeing mistake?
Well, yeah, I don't... Is it a mistake? I think it is a mistake. I think it is a mistake. And Arteta was whinging about the fact they should have had one against City, and I think I agree with that one as well. But this one, I thought Pope should have gone, quite frankly, and the game could have been very, very different. But listen, they still won. Eze gets a goal.
It was interesting that he keeps swapping the goalkeepers around. We have Pope back this time. Will it be Ramsdale again for next week? Who knows?
I don't know.
Arsenal were difficult going into this week. I think Gabriel and Raya picked themselves. They picked themselves on a free hit. They look like great picks. I think Raya remains my favourite goalkeeper between now and the end of the season.
What are you going to do with Arsenal assets going forward, though? And we'll talk about our teams in just a second, because I had Raya and I had Gabriel on a free hit, which is lovely. And coming back out into game week 35, I've just got Gabriel.
Me too.
How are you feeling about that? And do you want to add to it? Because Arsenal's fixtures between now and the end of the season do look pretty good. You'd expect them to get the four wins. I'd expect City to get the wins as well, but we can have that conversation another day. I feel a bit underinvested given the fixtures and given how on it they've got to be.
So I like the idea of going from Roofs to Raya.
Do you? Okay.
Not this week, because Roofs has got Wolves. So I'll probably stick with Roofs.
Right.
But after that, I like the idea of going for Raya. I like the idea of the defensive double up. I don't like Roofs at the minute. I just think Sunderland are all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
I really struggled on my free hit, because I looked at the fixture and thought, I think I want to target Newcastle, but I don't really know how to invest in that Arsenal attack. I just feel all at sea with it. Like, I wasn't sure whether he'd start. I was pretty sure he was going to start Havertz over Gyökeres, but then Havertz seems to have picked up an injury, so now we'll have to wait and see on that one. I quite like the idea of Eze, but I wasn't absolutely sure he was going to start, and I didn't think you could go there because it was too much of a risk.
Saka's
back on the bench, but is he going to? What's he going to do with that? Is he going to manage those minutes in? I would expect so, particularly as we've got Champions League coming in this week and next week as well. Like, what impact does that have on
I've got an him? Eye on Saka, I have to say. I've got an eye on him, mainly because, and we'll talk about our teams in just a second, but I've got bloody Palmer coming back, haven't I, for game week 35.
He looked really off it today, by the way, in the game.
Yeah,
just looks injured. Doesn't look fit.
No. So I don't really want him. So I'm sitting there thinking, well, Palmer to Saka looks sensible, but then it's Forest at home for Chelsea. Saka just coming back. It might be a move that I don't do in 35, but I've got an eye on it for 36.
Saka.
Maybe. Obviously, we need to see something from Saka, don't we? That
if Havertz is out, is Gyökeres interesting?
Yeah, maybe.
Because I don't really want João Pedro anymore.
Well, there is that as well. Yeah, there is that as well. I don't know. I've just got, you know, when I looked at my team, let's do it now, because when I looked at my team for 35, I thought, actually, that's not too bad. And I planned it that way, right? Because when I played the wild card, I played it to maximise the big double in 33, knowing that I was free hit in 34, and that when I come out in 35, I'm going to look at it and my bus team, I'm not going to go, shit. I'm going to go, actually, that doesn't look too bad.
Mm-hmm.
And when I looked at it, I thought, yeah, doesn't look too bad. And then I saw Palmer and João Pedro, and I was like, home to Forest. it's not the end of the world
on
fixture.
On paper, it looks good, doesn't it?
Yeah,
I don't think
but
it
it's
is
just
really.
Like, do you really want them?
No.
Let's do scores, and then we'll do teams. So scores for me this week, 47 on the free hit so far. Right, so far I've got Thiago to go, Bruno captain to go. For the podcasters, my team was Raya in goal with 10, Virgil, Gabriel. That's not Gabriel. Virgil, Gabriel.
I told you
Pedro
not to tell
Porro.
Me if there was any mistakes because these took me hours tonight.
Sorry, yeah. So Raya, Virgil, Gabriel, Pedro Porro, Bruno still to come, Salah, Szoboszlai, Wilson. Them three have let me down. That's where the problem has been on the free hit. Bowen 10, Watkins 2, him as well, Thiago. And then my bench, Kinski 6, Mavrapanos 4, Dewsbury Hall 8. Given that I had three zeros last week on bloody bench boost, that's a kick in the teeth, isn't it? And then Alderete 0. So 47, that's a game week rank of 1.3. So at the moment, that's a small green, smallish green, a 3% green up to 111k. I've got two free transfers going into next game week, and I've got 0.1 million in the bank. And this is what my team looks like for next week. So my team coming back, so that was, I've had my free hit. This is what I get back in 35. It's Darlow, O'Reilly, Hill, Gabriel and Strauch. It's Palmer, Semenyo, Tavernier and Bruno, Haaland, João Pedro. With my bench looking very much like a Brighton team, right? Verbruggen, Welbeck, Van Hecker and then Gordon
Do
currently.
You not want to target that Newcastle game?
Maybe. Yeah, maybe. And there's a big part of me that's going, well, do I play Welbeck or Van Hecker over Palmer this week?
Yeah.
I mean, potentially. So Brighton I want to keep, right? Because Newcastle away, all right, yes, we could target it. And on paper, it's a difficult-looking game going up to St James's. Of course it is. But they got Burnley at home next week. So I want to keep all three of them, really. There's no way I want to sell Verbruggen or Welbeck or Van Hecker.
I'm surprised you want to bench him.
Well, maybe. Yeah, maybe. And I'll figure that out as I go through the week. But double Leeds defence at home to Burnley. Don't mind it. Gabriel comes straight picking. That's fine. James Hill, the legend that is, the own goal king, comes back in. O'Reilly, happy to have him. Semenyo Haaland, happy to have him. Tav at home to Crystal Palace, happy days. Bruno against us. On paper, looks difficult, but I'm telling you, he'll score against us. Palace have just done 2.5 XG. So the two that I'm looking at, really, is Palmer and João Pedro, which on paper I shouldn't be, because it's Forest at home. You go, well, let's just go for Chelsea, obviously. Go João Pedro, go Palmer. But you're right, with Welbeck and Van Hecker on the bench, and I've got Gordon third bench, who Christ knows what's going on with him. Is he injured? Is he naughty stepped? I don't know. I'm looking at this team thinking, I don't think I need to make a transfer.
No, you definitely don't need to make a transfer, because Palmer could just go third sub and be done with him.
Because I got two free transfers, but I really wouldn't mind rolling this and going into 36 and trying to combat the bench boosters and playing my three free transfers and having a bit of a differential in there somewhere, or trying to in some way mitigate against the chips that are going to be played, going back to the beginning of the pod and what we said about trying to combat some of the chips that are going to be played, right? I'm going to need these transfers, right? I'm going to need them. So at the moment, that team on paper, I don't mind it. It sort of looks okay. I've got Haaland with the captaincy right now. Could change. I don't know, but currently got it on him. Listen, if you want to go Bruno captain against Liverpool, I don't mind it at all, honestly. The XG we give up is absolutely insane. So that's me. That's my bus team. I'm pretty happy to have this lot back for 35. It doesn't look too bad. So I feel like I've got a reasonable platform, a reasonable foundation to take that 111k and try and get into the top 100k somehow, right? Even with the chips being played around me. I'm hopeful. Let's talk about your score for this week. Then 49 with the same two still to play. So talk us through your free hit.
So actually quite similar in the end. So for the sake of the podcast, is Raya in goal with 10, Pedro Porro with 9, Virgil with 4, Gabriel with 8. So very happy with the defensive setup, despite being a little bit frustrated with Virgil, I think, particularly given that I had Van de Ven on my bench with 7. I think that was just a little bit frustrating, but I didn't.
Double Spurs defence would have been ballsy, let's face it.
It would have been very ballsy. Midfield, I've still got Bruno to go. He's my captain. Xabi with 3 is what it is. Salah with 1 is what it is. Rodgers, I'm still cross with myself about Rodgers, because I think, you know, had I had Morgan Gibbs-White's 13, obviously I'm 11 points further along. It's an even bigger green arrow than it was, but it was what it was with from that perspective, Watkins with 2, Thiago still to play tomorrow night, and then Barn with the 10. The bench was Woodman with 3, Van de Ven, as I mentioned, with 7, and then Ronaldo with 1, and then I had Max Dalman basically because I couldn't afford anybody else. So that was
He's
fine.
He's like the cheapest thing in the game, isn't he? So
4.2 or something. Thing. I was like, okay, look, you might play some minutes. You can be my last sub, and that's fine. And I won't need him. Even if Thiago and Bruno both didn't turn up tomorrow, Van de Ven and Ronaldo would have covered it, okay. So fine.
Okay.
So that's my team for this week. 49. It's a big green arrow again. Another big rank change, which is really nice. Takes me, as I mentioned at the beginning of this podcast, up into the top million for the first time. I'm about 884k now. Feels nice. I'm hopeful that by the end of the day tomorrow, if Thiago and Bruno can both do something, hopefully my rank will sit somewhere around the 800-ish mark.
Yeah, we don't want a 0-0 in that game, do we?
We definitely don't. I think if we can sit around the 800 mark by the end of this game week, that should put me in a position to push on towards the top 500k in the last few weeks.
Okay. All right, so 2.4 million in the bank and a free transfer.
I'm not doing anything, though, because if you look at my team for next week, okay, I actually wish I'd kept my bench boost because I don't know what to do with it this week. Like, I'm looking at it thinking, so currently I've got it set up with Roofs in goal away at Wolves. I could play Dubravka away at Leeds, but I think Leeds will score.
Nah, Roofs.
So Roofs, yeah, will go in with Roofs and hope that Wolves don't do anything. Gabriel at home to Fulham, Gaye away at Everton, and Bajol at home to Burnley. Into the midfield then, Bruno, Semenyo, Gross and Tavernier. Oh,
Gross coming back in. I don't mind that
and
at
I'm
all.
Very happy to play him against Newcastle. I'm very surprised to see all of your Brighton players on the bench.
It's funny because I've got Palmer and I feel obliged to pay him because he's so bloody expensive. Yeah. But you're right.
So I've got João Pedro, Haaland and Thiago as my front three, which means my bench currently is set up, obviously, Dubravka, but then Van Heek, Senesi and Rodgers. Now, I'm looking at this bench and I'm thinking, I don't really want to bench any of them.
No.
I wish I had my bench boost. Oh, yes. I messed it up in game week 34. Or
bench, 33. A bench of Van Heek against Wolves. Senesi to Forest.
Van Heek has got Newcastle. So Newcastle away for Van Heek. Senesi has got Crystal Palace and Rodgers has got Spurs. So I'm happy. Am I happy to bench Rodgers? Probably. I've got back Spurs. So we leave Rodgers there. But I don't really want to bench Senesi. I'm thinking about maybe benching João Pedro and Tav. I'm playing Van Heek and Senesi.
He was all right today, though, João Pedro. I know they're not scoring a lot of goals, but I thought he was all right, João Pedro, today. As opposed to Palmer, I agree with you. I thought he was really quiet.
My issue is that, like, what do I think is going to happen? Do I see Newcastle scoring a goal?
Hmm.
Because Van Heek, we know what Van Heek does. Van Heek, the last 10 minutes or so, they'll just go up front.
Well, they will if they're chasing the game.
Yeah.
But they won't if they're not chasing the game.
Well, if they're not, he probably already scored. He's so good. I don't really want to bench him. I don't really want to bench Senesi either. I can't play a back five.
I'd fancy Van Heek to do well against Will Asula, wouldn't you? Like, Asula can be tricky and quick. He's a bit of an unknown. But Van Heck's sort of savvy defender, isn't he? I honestly, with Newcastle, I mean, with Gordon naughty stepped and he doesn't fancy Valtomade or Visser, does he?
No.
Clearly not. So it's like, does he go with Will Asula again?
He said, you keep saying this. I think he's injured.
Oh, probably injured. Whatever.
I don't think he'd play. I don't think he's well. He's not fit. Mm. But I don't also want to play five at the back. I don't like the João Pedro pick. I'm not sure about Tav. Despite Tav being decent for me in the double game week, I'm not. In the weeks prior to that, he hasn't been great. I think he is the one I could bench at home to Crystal Palace. Crystal Palace could just do a stink up solid, be solid. Could that game finish 0-0?
Yeah,
maybe.
Nice comment from Chatterbox in the chat. Thanks, Chatterbox. He's saying, yeah, keep an eye on what's going on with Forest centre halves, right? Murillo, maybe João Cunha as well, not available for the Chelsea game. Maybe, yeah, maybe. So Murillo missed out, I think, this week, didn't he?
He did, yeah.
So yeah, keep an eye on that because that might have an influence over what you do with João Pedro, for example.
Yeah. Well, needless to say, I don't need to make a transfer because I already hate what I'm benching. So my big issues this week are going to be who plays and who's benched. Mm. Going into the week after then, I'll be hoping that we've got some firm news on double game weeks and then I'll be able to make transfers accordingly. Munoz feels like the one that I'm going to be targeting from Crystal Palace.
Okay.
I mean, the other option is I just go Roofs to Henderson and end the season with Hendo instead. That is an option.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Well, listen, a couple of green arrows for us this week, which I guess you'd expect. I mean, free hit, you'd be be really, really sad if we were coming on over Red Arrows after a free hit, right? But and I think they've been largely successful, right? You've seen the rank gains. And with Thiago tomorrow, I think the Bruno cap is largely what it is. Most people have capped Bruno this week, I think. But with Thiago both in our teams, we could yet have slightly bigger green arrows, which would be nice if we had something from him. There it is. That's the pod. That's the show for tonight. I don't know. I go back to what we said at the beginning. I think I'm a bit, not disappointed, I'm just a little underwhelmed, I think, with how the last 3 weeks' worth of chips have gone. This was supposed to be power hour, wasn't it, these 3 weeks? And I feel like I've underperformed a little bit. I'm probably...
The one thing I will say, though, Liz...
One or two over par, I don't think
your wild card has actually had a chance to work yet. Because,
well, they're all coming back in this week, so maybe. Yeah.
Because they're coming in now, yeah. Really. So I think, yes, you can be disappointed about the bench boost. I don't think you can be disappointed about the free hit. I think that's giving you a rank rise. And I think actually if you looked at the free hit in the... Forget the bench boost and everything else and just look at the free hit cold light of day tomorrow night when that game is finished. There'll be a decent green arrow then.
All right.
And I think that's fine. I think what between now and the end of the season... is when you'll judge the success of your wild card.
Yeah, all right. I am conscious that everyone else has got chips to play, though. I am a bit worried about that. What's coming up content-wise this week, Sam?
Busy week as per usual this week. So obviously, I'll be back with Cows and Jewels on the FPL pod this week. And then you'll be able to catch Lee and I on Sky Sports News if you are in the UK or can get Sky Sports News wherever you are on Friday morning, 9:30 till 10, talking about game week 35, because, of course, we have another... Friday night deadline this week.
Yeah, don't miss that again, guys. Friday deadline again this week.
So we'll be doing Sky Sports News together. I'll have the official pod, and that'll be out on Thursday morning. Thursday, I'll also be doing the Q&A with Az, as usual. I'm still ahead of him at the minute.
Okay, nice.
I definitely don't need a Brentford clean sheet.
How did his free hit go, do you?
He hasn't free-hitted. He free-hitted last week.
Oh,
but it does mean he's got Kelleher as his goalkeeper, so I definitely want Bruno Fernandes to score about 8. So he gets minus points for that. It'd be really lovely. So we'll be back together with that. And then obviously Lee and I will be back with our Ohana podcast, which you can access via patreon.com/FPL family. You don't have to pay for it. It's completely free. You just have to sign up for a free Patreon membership and then you'll get access to those final Ohana podcasts between now and the end of the season.
Nice one. All right. Well, listen, like, subscribe, all that good stuff, guys. Enjoy the game. George, have fun at the G-Tech tomorrow. Come on, Thiago. We could do with a goal or two just
it's at Old Trafford.
Is it at Old Trafford?
Yeah.
We might not be going then. I don't know. But yeah, enjoy the game. Brentford versus United tomorrow night. And we'll see you this time next week when we'll be discussing game week 30. What?
We're at the wedding.
Oh, we got the bloody Aston Villa Spurs popcorn wedding, haven't we? Yeah, we're not here next Sunday.
We're thinking about coming to you on Monday night.
If we can make that happen, we're going to try and make that happen.
We're going to try and get something out to you because it's Bank Holiday Monday. We're going to try and get something out to you, either a live stream or a video, on the Monday.
Game week 35, we will do some review of some description. We just don't know what it's going to look like yet, but it won't be a live stream Sunday because... I will be in the middle of a room full of fairly drunken Spurs and Villa fans. It's going to be epic. I cannot wait.
Grooms are United fans, so, you know, you don't care.
Anything could happen. Anything could happen. All right, guys, like, subscribe. We'll see you next time. Thanks for joining us. See you later. Cheers. Bye.
Bye, guys.